Hello, Resurrection. Pray with me. Father, anoint the lips of your servant that I would speak your word, that your message would be heard. And I pray that you anoint the hearts here that your message would be received. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me introduce myself first of all. I'm Jim Herring. As I said in the first service, I'm sure people know me as different things. The blind guy. Mr. Mary Herring. A lot of people know me as that, and I'm honored to be here. I pray for a calm spirit that I can just get the words out that the Lord needs me to speak. I'm calling this different than the first service. This is Let Go of That Rope. I forgot to tell this story in the first service, and I guess that means somebody here needs to hear it. So if I go to leave here and I haven't told the story about the rope, say, let go of that rope. That way I'll know. When I was 6 years old, I was diagnosed with congenital glaucoma. And it wasn't found the first time I went to the doctor, but the second time Wilmer Eye Institute found it. And quite frankly, how I got to the doctor, I think I wasn't privy to a family meeting. I think my brother and sister got tired of me coming barreling in the house and running over them. And I think they went to my mother and said, listen, take him to the doctor or we send him to the doctor. However, it's got to happen. So they took me down to Wilmer Eye Institute. And the doctor came in and examined me. And of course, he left and brought in other doctors. How they all do in clinics. And they come back in, he sits down, he looks over at my mother, and he says, your son has congenital glaucoma, and he's going to need an operation. There's no cure for it. And we went home, and my mother broke the news to the rest of my family, and it's the first time I ever saw my mother cry, and a little boy accepted responsibility. Over the next 5 years, I had various operations. Like I said, no cure, just operations trying to alleviate the pressure and things like this. And operations back then, hospital stays weren't like they are now. It is no get him in, send him home in the afternoon. Most stays were well over a week. Very trying to my mom and the rest of my family because somebody was always there with me, praise God. But I know it caused a great hardship. When I was 10 years old, one nice afternoon, we're over playing baseball, just having a good old time, and my world changed in a matter of minutes. People come barreling from over in the neighborhood saying, come, you guys got to come. And we go running over, and when I get to the bottom of my street, I can see a great commotion. People everywhere, it was anarchy. And you realize, you see a group of people gathered around somebody up on the corner, and you realize that person on the corner laying on the sidewalk is mom. And you hear people talking, and you hear a part of a conversation that says, don't know what happened. She heard brakes squeal, and she said, where are my boys? And a little boy accepted responsibility. I know she was fearful when I would go outside, always constantly worrying, where is he at? Very difficult things for a 10-year-old boy to swallow. Well, after she passed away, I was gracious enough, God was gracious enough to, God was gracious enough to move my sister, I have an older sister, and her husband to step in and begin to raise kids with no previous experience. And I'm eternally grateful for them for doing it. But the operations continued. Circumstances didn't change. The eyes still were deteriorating. And I tell this story when I was 12 years old, I had a detached retina. And It required me to have surgery and be strapped to a bed for 2 weeks, flat. Only raised enough to eat and drink and then lowered again. And while I was in the hospital, various things, I mean, I got sick, but always somebody there with me, always. God was very gracious to me even as a little boy. And after that 2 weeks, they get you up and they're deciding to send you home. But you got to go down to the clinic to get the bill of, okay, he's ready. And we go down and they examine me, and of course more doctors come in and examine me and so on and so on. And he comes back and he said, we missed some of it. Got to do it again. Take him home and let him rest. But when you bring him back, bring his bag and we'll do it again. Well, went home for a few days. My grandmother and aunt, very devout Christians. As a matter of fact, Pentecostal holy rollers. So if I catch the fire and get to wheeling around this church, keep your arms and legs inside the pews at all time. Anyway, they prayed for me, put me on prayer chains, and even had a TV evangelist pray for me. And I went over and held the TV. Had no idea what I was doing. Held the TV. Next couple of days, go back, and they said, bring him down to the clinic, and we'll give him the once-over, and then send him up. We got a room for him. So we go down, and he examines. He goes and gets more doctors, comes back, examines, so on and so forth. And he comes back in. He sits down. He says, what have you all been doing? I hadn't been doing anything, resting. He said, well, take this young man home, because I don't see the peace anymore. God's first introduction to me that he is faithful. And he does give us breaks when we need to, when we need them. So I spent the next several years, quite honestly, learning to deny I even had an eye condition. Had done nothing for me good in the past, so when I got of age, I just stopped going to the doctor. Wasn't anything good happening. There were no cures. Didn't feel like having any more operations. Got well up over 20 of them. I figured enough is enough. So you move on. And through that life, I mean, through those years, a lot of living, I was gracious enough to be introduced to my wife, who is just the biggest gift on loan from heaven. That just lets me know he's real and he's gracious and he knows what he's doing. And we've lived life, not always correctly, but we've lived life and enjoyed it and had hardships. And one night, in a very difficult part of my life, sitting at home by myself in the living room, I don't remember if I was laying on the floor or not, I invited Jesus into my life, and he came. There were no angels singing. There was no big fanfare. As a matter of fact, I just felt this nudging in my spirit. It wasn't an audible voice, and the voice said, get up. And I got up. Nothing changed in my circumstances. I still battled anxiety, and I've battled anxiety on and off all through my life. For different reasons, not just blind reasons, but it's one of the reasons, because I carried responsibility for certain things for a long time. Well, one day I was at work. I was a custodian for the federal government, and I was in charge of moving all the recycling, all these containers. And I was coming down the hallway, but In this particular day, there was a lot of renovations going on in the building. So they were moving furniture and just finding anywhere they could to put it. Somebody put a conference room table or a desk up on a pallet on its side, legs protruding out, and I came down the corridor and swung my head around, and the table leg hit me flush in the only eye I had vision in. I took two steps. First step, I saw red, last color I ever saw. Second step, I see what I see now. Life became even more challenging. My first thoughts, I invite Jesus into my life, and what happens? How can this be you, God? How can this be you? Over the last 8+ years, he's shown me how it's him. One night, in the midst of praying, and I've had some very spirited conversations with Jesus, and I've cried out to him many times, Lord, what are you doing? I didn't sign on for this. And I've prayed for healing over and over and had people pray for healing for me. And one night, sitting by myself, Jesus spoke to my spirit and said, I did heal you. It's just not the healing you think you needed. God had to shut a man's eyes to get him to see. And he's taught me a lot over the last 8 years. He's blessed me beyond anything I could ever deserve with a wonderful wife, beautiful daughter, family that loves me, Christian family that loves me, which I'll mention. Thank God for good friends. My man John Buxton, who never gave up on me and would not get tired of inviting me out to get me to come out, get me involved in Bible study. Tim Anderson, David Martek, all these gentlemen, I'm eternally grateful for never giving up on me, always praying for me, and seeing more than a blind guy. I'm overwhelmed by what God does in my life. Well, circumstances do not define who Christians are. Our response to those circumstances, that's what defines us as Christians. And I think the message God is giving me today to share with his people is we get caught up in our own lives and get overwhelmed and spend way too much time with that gaze being inward than being out. When Jesus has put us here as gifts, we were gifts to Jesus from the Father, and Jesus allows us to be gifts to one another. Not a greater gift you can have than to be able to serve people. And I'm talking about service, sacrificial service. Not serving people because they deserve it, not because of the way they treat you, because of the way God has treated me. Take time for people. There's always something we can do. I used to think, what can I do? Because unfortunately, after my accident, I still cling to certain things. And this is why I call this sermon, Let Go of That Rope. One night, don't remember if I was sleeping, couldn't tell you, or if I was just daydreaming. I'm sitting there and I have a vision, and I'm hanging by this rope. I'm clinging to this thing with everything I have. And I keep glancing up, and I'm just watching the threads of this rope tear away. Everything else is dark. All I can see is that rope. And the threads just continue to pop one after the other. And I'm terrified. It's about to end. And I don't know why people do it. But the next thing I do, I look down. I don't know why I want to look down and see where I'm going, but I look down anyway. And underneath me was Jesus himself with his arms outstretched. And he says to me, let go of that rope. It's not my rope. It's not the rope I have for you. That's your rope. That's what's been holding you back all these years. Let go of that rope and allow me to move in your life. I'll catch you. I'll sustain you. I'll bless you with everything you need to make a difference for me. And the proof of that is, here I am. I don't deserve to be up here. I'm a nobody. But in God's eyes, you read his word and you read, he uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Hey, here I am. I fit there. Guys, we can all serve somewhere. We all have a position in God's army. in his church. We are the tangible proof that Jesus Christ is alive and well. We are his presence here. And he wants us to act like it. He wants us to serve people that don't even want to be served. He wants us to love beyond anything we're able to do on our own. It's easy to love people that love you back. That's why he always says, listen, if your enemy, if he's hungry, feed him. Because I created him and I died for him. Give him the good news. Allow him to see it. It's one thing to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but can you live like he lives in you? Can you show what Jesus means and who he is and what he commands us to do? See, when you become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, everything takes a different view. And I know, coming from a blind man, different view doesn't mean anything. Which, by the way, a little sidebar, my wife told me that the view up here would be vastly different. It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. Jesus Christ has moved in my life in 8 years, more than he did in the 40 previous. Because of my vision being taken away, by the way, I don't pray for healing anymore, because I got the answer. I've been given a platform. Some people would view it as difficult circumstances. This is an honor. Jesus allowed me to be blind because he said he would sustain me and give me everything I need to walk forward. So we can't get hung up on our circumstances. When God moves in his children's life, it's always in a path to promote you to continue to sing the praises of a God who loves us. So don't get stuck on circumstances, because that's exactly what they are. They're circumstances. They're also platforms to allow us to sing the praises in the midst of a storm. And by the way, here's another visual thing. I don't know what it'll mean to you, but it's true. You can strike a match on a bright sunny day outside and that light doesn't mean a thing. But go in a dark room where there's no light and strike that match, and that light illuminates the darkness. Now that's a blind guy that had to lose vision to begin to understand what that means. Live beyond ourselves. Don't be afraid of the storms, because it's where he allows us to shine the brightest. It's where he allows his presence to be seen, where the world doesn't expect to see him. Funny thing is, you can run into people that I can just tell by meeting them, they fully expect this guy's got every reason in the world to be bitter. And the mouth opens and the praises come out. It makes a difference. We get bogged down in life circumstances. A lot of anxiety in this world, a lot of depression in this world. There's all that because we get bogged down in our circumstances, and lots of us have very difficult circumstances. God is bigger than them all. All of them. There's nothing wasted when you become a follower of Jesus Christ. Can't explain to you why everything happens that happens. But I can tell you he's bigger than it all. I'm telling you, when he says that he can use everything for the good of those who are called, only a God can do that. Only Jesus can do that and even make it make sense. So I tell you this, as being Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, what an awesome privilege we have. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, the Bible is no longer a book of rules and regulations, but a book of privileges. Because we serve a God that stepped down out of glory to come and rescue us. And quite frankly, we weren't even looking to be rescued. I know I wasn't. Jesus Christ saved me, and I didn't deserve to be saved. He's made something of a life that I never would have expected. He's allowed me opportunities to speak to people, to pray for people, to love people beyond difficult circumstances where people really don't expect to find it. We have the opportunity as followers of Jesus to make him real to people. What an awesome gift that is. So with each day, and I'm not going to talk a lot. David said, second service, I can talk as long as I'd like. And I even practiced up some Korean because I thought a Korean church came here about 2 o'clock. So I thought if I just keep talking, I'll just swap over. The awesome gift from Jesus to us is that we get to love sacrificially like he does. We get to learn how he loves us. We get to love beyond our circumstances. We get to love beyond how people treat us. That's an awesome gift. That is something that only the Spirit of God, when it gets inside of you, can bring to life. And it can be done. And I'm living proof of it. So in this day, the world we live in, so full of anxiety, so full of grief and trouble, and God says, listen, guys, don't keep your eyes on this world because this is not the end. This is not your destination. But I need you here. Jim, I need you to be blind so that I can reach people. Will you do that for me? Well, thank God he doesn't always consult me because I'm not sure I would have said yes. But he's gracious enough that if he asks us to do something, he supplies everything we need to carry it out. If we'll just trust him. And quite frankly, sometimes even when we don't trust him. So I said this before as far as the gospel reading went today. Who sinned? This man or his parents? Quite frankly, both. Both. Blindness is not a curse. Remember this. Followers of Jesus, if you have trying circumstances and you pray and pray and pray, Lord, take this from me, and he doesn't. It was never meant to be a curse. Don't live like it's a curse. Live like it's a platform that the Lord has trusted you with to make a difference, to reach a world that needs reaching. He's blessed me, like I said, beyond. He's brought things to life to me. And like I said, listen, it's no picnic being blind. I miss my wife's face. Said this in the first service. I used to stare at my wife, hoping that I would never forget that face. And that face got me through some very tough days. Just that smile that could light up my world. The amazing thing is, not having vision, I call her double take. She can make a blind man swing his head twice to get a look. A walking asthma attack just sucks the air right out of my lungs. What a blessing. God has been so faithful to me. Guys, as I finish up, I'll say this. Life is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift that guarantees us that we are indeed heaven bound. It began when you invited Jesus in. Now we get the privilege of walking in this world, allowing him to be seen, allowing him to be heard. And if I can tell you this with every day, and I tell my wife this a lot, when you get up every morning, be a gift to somebody. Be a gift to everybody. Because we have the blessing and the security knowing that we are secure in our Maker's hands and nothing can pluck us out of that. Now go and tell the world that the invitation is the same for them. All you got to do is believe and receive and allow him to change your life. Don't be afraid of circumstances, because circumstances will come. But circumstances to a Christian are just another platform to sing the praises of a God that loves us beyond anything we'll ever be able to understand. We get glimpses of it when we allow ourselves to step outside of our circumstances and serve one another. And I make this offer, and I mean this to everybody I meet, whether you're a member of this church or whoever I talk to. The invitation stands. I've had many sleepless nights of anxiety and depression, and I offer this. I may not be able to give you everything you need, but I can give you everything I have. I'll pray for you. I'll stand with you. I'll hook hands as a believer. If it's over the phone, text message, I don't care. When you feel like you're getting beat up and overwhelmed, man, lock hands with a Christian. Lock hands with a Christian in total agreement that our God is bigger than this. We cannot be defeated because we don't fight for victory anymore. We fight from victory. Jesus Christ is the one that saved us. And he's the one that guarantees us, guys, just trust me in this. And my goal in life has changed. I await the day that I can step into the presence of Jesus himself and see that smile on his face nodding like, I told you. I told you I was real. And to hear those words, job well done, my good and faithful servant. Jesus, raise up a spirit in your children that we would just begin to serve sacrificially. Father, love beyond anything we've ever just tried to do before. Father, give your children hearts for a world that doesn't even know they're lost. Father, grant us the courage and strength to speak the truth of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, but always in love. Father, bless us with everything we need to make a difference. And may your praise always be found in our mouths. Bless us as we go forward from here, Lord. Give us encouragement that we need to uphold one another, to pray for one another, and to trust in you, Lord, knowing that one day we will live in eternity with you. Do a work by your Spirit, O Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for serving us, Jim. Good work.